Well, greetings in the Lord once again, congregation. And as always, we offer a warm welcome to those who join us as visitors. We have a wonderful opportunity to close the year together in public worship. And tonight, for the last time here in 2020, to be called to worship. And so that call to worship is here at the beginning and then at the end of Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. So we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So let's come to do just that. And let's begin with a word of silent prayer together. Beloved congregation, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Receive God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you in abundance from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, we heard that call to worship, and here on this last day of 2020, let's turn to number 474, and we'll sing all the stanzas, hours and days, and years and ages, number 474. Thank you. Let's remain standing as we confess our faith. We'll do so together and in true faith, and we'll use those words of the Apostles' Creed. And so we say then, with one voice, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's turn over to number 174. This will be the first of three consecutive songs tonight from Psalm 90. We'll sing 174, 175, and 176. And so number 174, O teach thou us to count our days. Well, for our scripture reading tonight, before we have our congregational prayer, we'll hear from Psalm 62. So Psalm 62, the heading or the superscription says, to the choir master, according to Jeduthun, a Psalm of David. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless him with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. So there's Psalm 62. Well, in our prayer tonight, we'll call upon God together, and we have one request we want to keep with us. Elsie Wissink was admitted to the hospital this afternoon and taken to Sioux Center, and she anticipates a surgery tomorrow. So let's remember Elsie in our prayers and ask that if that surgery comes to pass, that God would bless it to be a benefit for her. So let's pray, shall we? Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we echo the psalmist in that call to worship that we heard. And we open our prayer and we say, praise the Lord. We have not put our trust in human leaders who are merely mortal and in whom there is no salvation. But we have put our trust in you, the Lord our God, who alone is immortal and has immortality, the creator of heaven and earth, of things visible and invisible. You are forever faithful to us, O God. And one day, at the return of your Son, Jesus Christ, perfect justice will be brought all throughout this earth. So in the meantime, in this present age, we ask that you provide for all of the needs that we have. And we thank you, O God, that you have filled the hungry, that you have liberated captives, given sight to the blind, raised up those who are bowed down, and comforted those who were oppressed. Indeed, how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So we thank you, Father, that you love perfectly and everlastingly all of those that you have called to yourself in Christ and clothed with his perfect righteousness. We worship you, Lord, as the maker and sustainer of all things. And we give thanks to you, O God, and we glorify you for your wondrous deeds, both in creation and in redemption. We think of your servant Elsie tonight and pray, Father, that you would bless her as she is in the hospital tonight. We pray that you might give her sufficient health and strength, that she would be ready for the surgery tomorrow. And we pray, O God, that with your blessing upon the doctors and nurses and all who attend to her, that you would give them wisdom and clarity and understanding of the situation, and that you would give them guidance and a steady hand as they work on Elsie, that things might be taken care of, that she might be well served, O Lord, by their labors and your blessing, and that the outcome might not only be deliverance from this trial, but in due time a return to health and strength that you know is needed to enable her to go in every way to serve you and to testify of you. So hear our prayer on Elsie's behalf, Lord, and bring these things to pass that we might hear a good report. Father, as blessed as we are to be under the cover of your grace, we have to confess that we have sinned and that we have broken your law, which is written in our hearts as well as in the scriptures. We must confess that we have disregarded the voice of our conscience and spurned the direction of your Spirit. And even worse yet, Father, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to confess that at times we have refused to follow the clear commands of your holy word. And yet, you daily show us grace and patience. And in Christ, We are and remain forgiven, as you have united us to him by faith and by the working of your Spirit. So, Father, purge, we pray, sin from our lives unto further sanctification. Cleanse our souls from their guilt and give us a clear conscience in that regard. Deliver us from earthly affections. Guide our feet away from the path of evil and lead us to walk in the way of righteousness for the sake of your holy name, even as you teach us to pray in Psalm 23. And Father, may we pursue the beauty of your holiness and the security of the hope that you have set before us, so that we never lose our firm assurance in a salvation that is forever, in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we thank you for equipping us, Lord, with a suitable spiritual armor to protect us against the wiles of the evil one as we walk in this world. We thank you for such a great high priest as is Jesus, who intercedes for us always and who saves for all time those who draw near to you through him. And we thank you for your word which guides us and teaches us and is that lamp to our feet and that light to our path. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who graciously empowers us to bind that word upon our hearts, to write it upon the tablet of our heart, and to set our minds on things that are above and not those things which are upon the earth. And so because of your grace, O God, we long to understand your truths and to observe the wonder of your works, and so that we can then see, O Lord, a blessing in every trial and a joy in every sorrow, as we know that in patience we are taught, in adversity rather, we are taught patience, in prosperity we are taught thankfulness, and as we look to the future, we are to have a good confidence that nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So fill our hearts, Lord, with gratitude and praise. May we see your design in everything. Help us, Lord, to witness for Jesus Christ and for that gospel promise to all who will hear us. And Lord, may you grant us to live uprightly and sincerely and then have a good hearing, not only because of the lip, but also because of the life, both of which seek to manifest the glory of Christ and walk in his love. So, Father, in every condition of life, whether we struggle or prosper, whether we suffer or rejoice, we pray that you would help us to remember that your hand brings all of these things to us and that you are working through them for our good and for your eternal glory. We are so thankful and privileged to be your children. We know that such is a gift of pure and free grace, and we pour our hearts out to you in prayer, O Father, with a sacrifice of praise, doing so on the last day of this year, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, let's turn to number 175, the second of those three songs from Psalm 90. And we'll cry out together saying, Lord, through all the generations, all three stanzas, number 175.
Thank you.
Well, let's turn over to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. I'd never studied Psalm 144 for a sermon or anything like that. So as I was preparing for what to do for New Year's Eve, and in, as I'll mention, New Year's Day on January 3rd, I thought Psalm 144 would be a good psalm, I think, for those occasions. So Psalm 144 is what we'll read, and then the first two verses will be the preaching passage tonight. So here it is, a psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. Stretch out your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me from the many waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a 10-stringed harp I will play to you, who gives victory to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the cruel sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. So there is Psalm 144. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. And we pray now that it has been read, that our hearts are being opened by your grace, our minds are being enlightened by your Spirit. And you would bless, O Lord, a simple ministry of your word to come to us in spirit and in truth, in power and in unction, and that it might be heard, Father, and received, even welcomed, with a believing heart, that on this last day of the year, you would continue the work that you have for us, and that you will yet complete in us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how was 2020? For you personally, how were things? How were things at school, boys and girls, halfway through the year, as it were? How about things at work in this past year? Or maybe things with your family, or things with your finances, things with community relations, things with church life. Fill in the blank. How were things for you in 2020. For me, 2020 was a challenge. There were some things I'd like to keep from 2020. There's other things I'd like to flush down the toilet from 2020. Let me ask it like this. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate 2020? Or maybe to use the old Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert scale, would you give 2020 two thumbs up, two thumbs down, or maybe one of each? By all accounts, 2020 was, to say the least, unusual, right? We faced a worldwide pandemic, a toilet paper shortage at one point. People were stockpiling groceries and staples down in their basement. We learned new phrases like social distancing and sheltering in place. And we even witnessed probably a little bit of government overreach here and there. So like I said, by all accounts, 2020 was, to say the least, unusual. Especially by the soft, cushy standards of what we think life should be like here in North America, right? And if 2021 is anything like 2020 in terms of cultural and political and social unrest, well then, we as the church, we probably need to use the language of our 2 points tonight. We probably need to remember to ask God to prepare us and to protect us. Because it's quite possible that opposition might increase and persecution might not be too far away. Now, in spite of all of that, let me say that for some perspective on all of this, in terms of the difficulties and the dilemmas that 2020 brought us face to face with, here we all are, right? Some of us have passed away, of course, and that can be, I don't say this in a passé sort of way, but that can be expected in the course of any given year. Members of the church pass away. But here all of us are, safely through another year, God has brought us to December 31st. Blessings all ours in Christ and 10,000 this side. And so ultimately, we have every reason to be optimistic as we look toward the future. We can be optimistic because of Christ and because of that gospel promise, and so we should be optimistic in Christ because of that gospel promise. Because whatever 2021 brings us, if we truly believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, nothing can separate us from God's love in His Son. And as far as Psalm 144 goes, if you look at if you have it open and you look there, it's the superscription, right? The heading tells us very simply that it's a Psalm of David. But notice there's no other information given to us in terms of what the background or the context or the occasion of the Psalm may have been originally. And we've seen that before when we've looked at Psalms that have been either untitled or scarcely titled. One pastor has said there's much uncertainty what the occasion was that David went through when he wrote this psalm. But there's, like always, there's lots of speculation and lots of guesses. Some say that David wrote this psalm after his victory over Goliath. Some say David wrote this psalm after him or his fellows had victories over some of Goliath's brothers. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles. Some say that David wrote this after his battles with the Ammonites or with the Syrians. Some say that David wrote this after the death of Absalom. And that coup against the king was put down as Joab plunged those 3 darts into Absalom's heart, nailing him to the tree. There's been other suggestions as well. We don't know what the occasion was that David had been delivered from as he wrote this Psalm 144. But in any case, the imagery of the psalm, if you look at it, just even a broad view of the psalm, here's what we have. We have David as king, crying out to God, who is the great king. And we have David as a warrior, crying out to his God, who is a great defender and deliverer. And essentially, there are 3 parts to Psalm 144. Verses 1 and 2 is the opening. That's what we'll look at tonight. Then you have verses 3 through 11, sort of the main body. It's multifaceted, the main body of the psalm. And then verses 12 to 15 is a closing prayer. And the Lord willing, that's what we'll look at on Sunday morning coming up. So with some of that then as overview tonight, here's the following theme and points. If you have a bulletin, you can see it there. And this is the theme for the whole psalm, even though we're just going to look at verses 1 and 2 tonight. The confident believer remains focused on God despite personal troubles. Think of that language. The confident believer remains focused on God despite personal troubles. And in following His lead, we too learn to say, in verse 1, God prepares me. And then in verse 2, God protects me. So as things open up and we learn to say that God prepares me, that's verse 1 as the psalm begins for us there. And maybe just a pause here for just a second on this idea of God preparing us. Children and young people, God will prepare you for the future through everything that He has for you in the present. So each day, as 2021 unfolds, look to the Lord for that grace of preparation. For those who are middle-aged, and we'll even count the 20 and 30-year-olds in that category, 20 to 70, 20 to 60, let's say, God will prepare you either for the trials and troubles that yet lie ahead or for other things that come with the confusion and calamity of life. So look to the Lord as the year unfolds and ask Him already to prepare you for what yet lies down the road. And for the old, for those who are aged, maybe even for those who won't see the end of 2021, God will prepare you for those later years of life by way of His promises. So remember them. And remember tonight to believe those promises in the coming year. If you look at verse 1, it opens up with that phrase that sets the tone right away. There's a Godward focus, right? Blessed be the Lord. And here, that phrase, blessed be, means praised be. And that is to be the orientation of our heart too, isn't it? Especially as we close out the old year. After all, in light of all of the good that God has given to us and done for us in 2020, He is to be praised. Even for those who were called home this past year. Because their race is run. It has been finished. They have crossed the river over into glory. God is to be praised even for all of the trials that we have experienced and all of the trials that we have endured. Because you know what God does with those trials? He uses them to sanctify us. He uses them to teach us that this world is not our home, but that it is, to use our baptismal form language, a constant death. And that we may not set our heart, we may not set our hope here. So don't ever lose sight of that Godward focus that opens up Psalm 144, congregation, because the vertical view of the Christian life is so very important. And if we have that, then we can say along with Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And in that light, here's the key. If we only see horizontally, then all we will have is a cause for discouragement and a cause for frustration. But since we see this life in light of our God, who is to be blessed and praised and who deservedly receives those things, well, then we have the very first thing in place that's needed in order for God to prepare us for what lies ahead. Maybe a set of diagnostic questions here. What sorts of things might come to us that makes us think that God won't prepare us? Well, maybe you sit there and you think, I face the same temptations every day. It's like these things that I struggle with never go away. I fall into the same sins, and I have the same bad habits, and it seems like I can never get over the hurdle. Sometimes I feel spiritually slothful and lazy. I don't think I'm on fire for the Lord like I should be, like I think other people seem to be. Well, if you think those things, or if you have other things like that in your heart, here's what I would say. Welcome to the Christian faith. Welcome to the Christian life. But guess what? Here you are. God has preserved you this far, and you can trust Him to preserve you the rest of the way. So press on. Press on in faith. Press on in light of His preparing you for what lies ahead. Back to the passage. Look at how David describes God here. My rock. Blessed be the Lord, my rock. You know what we can see there? And maybe you've never thought about it this way. I read this from somewhere. I can't remember exactly where I read it. But in a passage like that, where God is referred to as my rock, what we see is that rocks are revelatory. In other words, rocks are revelatory because rocks have been designed by God to teach us something about Him. Rocks are solid. Rocks are immovable. Rocks are strong. Rocks are useful. Rocks are aesthetic and beautiful. Rocks can be supportive. Rocks can be turned into a weapon. Rocks can be used in construction. Rocks can ornament a public park like we have here in Sanborn with the Freedom Rock. And I'm not advising any of the children or young people to climb on top of that rock. There's probably some sort of an ordinance against that. But if you climbed on top of that rock, you would feel like a king standing on top of that firm foundation. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, is what David says. And guess what? The Lord isn't just David's rock. As if David has the market cornered on that blessing, right? As if that's his confession of faith and nobody else's. No. But the Lord is a rock to everyone who believes in and belongs to Jesus Christ by faith. That's his promise to every believer in his beloved Son. In fact, I'll go even one step further and say that it could be said that in Christ in particular, God is and serves as our rock, right? After all, the salvation and security that Jesus gives to us, that makes us rock solid in the sight of God the Father, does it not? And the grace that Christ provides us with, that's grace that supports us when we're weak. That's grace that supports us when we're and protects us when we're threatened. And that's grace that prepares us by arming us for the fight of our faith. So congregation, lean on the rock of Jesus Christ that God the Father has given you, which is to say, believe in Him, trust in Him, and be confident that in Christ, God's amazing grace has been given to you. Just like the gospel promise says. One more look at verse 1 here. And the end of verse 1 is, it's fabulous, it's powerful. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, here it is, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Somebody said, in their estimation, based on David's life growing up as a shepherd boy and his interaction with his father and his brothers are in the battle, they said maybe David wasn't initially a man who had a warlike spirit, but he was born for war. And he was born to be a warrior in God's kingdom and in God's army. And this transition that David underwent from shepherd to soldier and king meant that David needed to undergo a change along the way, that God needed to prepare him to become the man that he would be. So think about that. David is a shepherd who became a soldier. And guess what? In that we have a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? David, even in the scope of his life, he points us to Jesus. Because Jesus is the good shepherd who became the soldier and fought against the devil. And by accomplishing that work, has then fulfilled that role as our Savior. And so Jesus is and Jesus has everything that you and I need as a shepherd, soldier, Savior. And He has those things for us. He doesn't hold them for Himself, but He gives the full measure of them to everyone who trusts in Him. And He will prepare us. He will prepare us for the battle and for the year that lies ahead, just like He promised in Matthew 16. That's part of His work of building the church against which the gates of hell will not prevail. But let's break down that phrase at the end of verse 1 this way. If you look at it with me for just a minute. David uses the language of hands and war. On the one hand, so that's a big picture, that's sort of the panoramic view of life. And then he scales it down and uses the language of fingers and battle to highlight the little picture and the details of life. In other words, David is saying at the end of verse 1 that God has made him war ready in order that he might prove himself to be battle tested. Or to say it another way, God has made David into a man of war. Because that's exactly the man that David needed to be for the calling that God had for him. And maybe when we read a verse like this, we think there's a disconnect between Psalm 144 and the lives that we have today. Because maybe we don't often think of the Christian life as a war, or as a battle. But we should think of the Christian life that way, because it is both a war and a battle. And here's the key. By His Word and Holy Spirit, God prepares us by training us for the fight of faith. And Christ is not only the captain of our salvation, but He is our commanding officer. Not to mention that we have been given a full array of battle armor that we are called in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on. So put on that armor of God as 2021 unfolds. Be prepared with those things that God has given you and stand firm in that armor against the wiles and temptations of the wicked one. And in the year that comes, congregation, ask God to train you for war and for battle all the more fully, that you might be discerning and that you might be spiritually skillful in the way that you walk before Him. And I would say do so prayerfully. Ask Him to train you all the more fully prayerfully. Do so as you meditate upon His Word, even memorizing passages from the Word as the year unfolds. Do so with devotion in your heart, which is to say, do so in true faith. Do so intentionally. Do so daily. And do so as you show the love of God, and as you tell others when opportunity arises about this Christ who has saved you. And do so, remembering that Jesus is your Lord and Savior according to that promise of the gospel. As you trust Him, as you rest in Him, and as you stand firm upon the foundation of that rock. Going forward into a year where you don't know what lies ahead any more than I do, in the confidence of His faithfulness. As we continue, let's see that we also learn to say, along with David here, not just that God prepares me, but that God protects me. And that's what we see in verse 2. And like we paused at the beginning of the last point, we'll pause here. Because God will protect the boys and girls and the young people in church. As you are raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, God will protect you. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing bad will ever happen to you. But as you trust in God, you can trust in His hand of protection to be upon you. The middle-aged who are in the thick of life, who will face challenges and dilemmas, God will protect you. Like it says, no evil shall befall you. Psalm 91 is one of those psalms of protection that in Christ belongs to us. And for those who are aged, as you break down and eventually wear out, you need to remember that God will protect you also. Go to Psalm 71 and read that psalm for those who are in their older age years and gray-headed and all that sorts of thing. God will not cast you off, but He will protect you and care for you and watch over you. Now, if you look at verse 1, as things open up, there's what I think David does here is he expands on that phrase that God is my rock. And the reason I say that, and this is going to be a little particular for just a minute or two here, but if you look at Psalm 144, there's a little bit of a chiasm here. And David doesn't necessarily unfold that phrase per se, but he expands upon it and uses other pictures of God's faithfulness. So after David says, my rock, look, there he said, then we have a phrase here, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And then we have three couplets, each of which have two parts to them. And then at the end of verse 2, we have another one of those who phrases, who subdues peoples under me. And there's particular parallels in those two who phrases in the Hebrew passage here in verses at the end of verse 1 and then down to the end of verse 2. So it's a tidy little section that David has for us as he opens things up here. Maybe a timeout for a minute on all that. Right? Look at the language he says. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge. Those are the three phrases, each with two parts. And then the second of those who phrases, as the book ends, who subdues peoples under me. So let me ask this. And bear with me on this. What if you were to describe God as my something? Fill in the blank. What would you say? How would you phrase things? Would you use traditional biblical language? He's my father. my Savior, my Lord, my King, those sorts of things. Would you dare get creative? And bear with me on this. Would you say God is my Coke? He's the real thing. Christ is my American Express card. I won't leave Earth without Him. God is like Allstate because He has me and I am in good hands. God is like a De Beers diamond. He is forever. Now, if you think those kind of a cultural connections are silly, that's exactly what John does over in John chapter 1 when he calls Jesus the Word, the Logos, who was made flesh and dwelt among us. John takes this complex philosophical category that was well known in the ancient world about the Logos, who was the sum of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding and yet was impersonal. And John says, it's not that. It's the Son of God who's the Logos. He is the true Word of God and He is personal and He reveals the Father to us. John makes that kind of a cultural connection. In any case, back to the point here, would you get personal? He's my counselor. He's my friend. Psalm 25. He's my good shepherd. He's my light. Psalm 27. Maybe you'd be melancholy, right? Some people like to walk in a melancholy mood. He's my judge. He's my terror. He's my God of unanswered prayer. Maybe you're more optimistic. And you'd say, He's my hope. He's my saving righteousness. He's my author and finisher of the faith. He's my all in all. Here's the key in all that. I think we can latch on to at least some of those my sayings, right? But the key is this. And I would encourage all of us, as 2021 dawns and as it unfolds, I would encourage all of us to think of God in these relational terms. My rock. My shield. My stronghold. My steadfast love. All of that. Because God's not impersonal with us. He's not distant. He's not far off, somewhere out there. He's not silent, but He has spoken to us. He's not hiding in the darkness, playing keep away. And He's not deaf to our cries either. But through Jesus Christ, God is the opposite of all of that, isn't He? That's the gospel message, congregation. And He calls us to believe that and to receive all of what He has to give to us. To believe His Word, to be filled with the blessings of His Son, and to put our trust in His promises, which are always faithful and true. Know that. Respond in true faith by God's grace. And then go in light of all of those things. As December 31st gives way to January, to February, to March, to April, and in God's providence, wherever things might go from there. Now back to the passage for a minute. If you look at verse 2, there's those three couplets I mentioned that have the five my sayings, and then the last one has a little bit of an expanded phrase, He in whom I take refuge. And then at the end, there's the phrase, who subdues peoples under me, that corresponds to that who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Right? Those are parallel phrases. And that's military language. Both of those who phrases are military language, right? Which makes total sense, since David was a warrior and a king. And with this military language, David is highlighting a certain aspect of God's faithfulness. So think with me for a minute. Steadfast love and fortress, that speaks to the heartfelt and fortified protection that God gives. My stronghold and my deliverer, that speaks to the care and keeping as well as the salvation that God provides. My shield and He in whom I take refuge, that speaks to the goodness of God in all of His guarding ways. And that phrase at the end, who subdues peoples under me, that speaks of a confidence in the present and future faithfulness as well as victory in Jesus. So maybe we'll pause for some more diagnostic questions here. What sorts of things might make you think that God somehow won't protect you in 2020, 21? Maybe an unexpected illness crops up and it throws you for a loop. Maybe there's a trial or a trouble that's right around the corner, and from this perspective, you don't even see it coming. Maybe there's work-related or financial-related anxiety that you know is on the horizon. Maybe you have concern about an uncertain future because you like to know what's coming and how those ducks need to be lined up in a row. But guess what? We have all faced all of those sorts of things already, right? None of that would be new if it came to us in 2021. And here we are. God brought us through these past crazy 12 months, and He will bring us through the next crazy 12 months. And even if He calls us home along the way, that's better than to remain here in this life. So here's a challenge. It's a small challenge. Commit Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2, to memory. It's only two verses. Memorize the opening of Psalm 144. Own this psalm. And as you own it and memorize it and meditate upon it, say those my phrases from your own heart. Give unction to what David says there as you offer praise to God by owning the verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 144. After all, isn't that at least part of how Scripture is to function for us? Isn't that part of why God has given it to us, that we might internalize it and own it and meditate upon it? That's Psalm 1. That's Proverbs 3. I mean, Psalm 144 is not a museum piece, is it? It's not a relic that we just sort of look at and admire and keep at arm's length. It's not something to see from a distance. No, Psalm 144 is, it's wonderful. And it's what God would have us set our hearts and our minds on. And since God has given it to us, let's use it. Let's use it as intended, which is to say, let's use it well, which is to say, let's use it through Jesus Christ our Lord, which is to say, let's use it in true faith and make these words of David our own words, along with him and the whole company of God's people who come to own these things in spirit and in truth. Let's close out like this. Just think of David's life and of how God did indeed protect him. Often, in fact, right, read 1 and 2 Samuel, for example. I mean, God protected David, boys and girls, from Goliath. He protected David from Saul. He protected David from Absalom, from the Philistines, from various battles, from various kings, Abimelech, Psalm 34, and that whole narrative there. What has God protected you from in this past year? If you made a list of the things that God protected you from in 2020, what would be on that list? And now 2021 is just around the corner. It's at hand. Are you ready? And do you trust and believe that God will protect you as well? Let me close out by turning back to that devotional I mentioned the other day. This was from December 28. The passage is Hebrews 13, verse 5. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And it says this, this priceless scripture does not promise us exemption from trouble, but it does secure us against desertion. We may be called to traverse strange ways, but we shall always have our Lord's company, assistance, and provision. And His favor is better than any fortune. We ought surely to be content with such things as we have, for he who has God has more than all the world besides. And what can we have beyond the infinite? If God says He will never leave you nor forsake you, be in much prayer for grace so that you may never leave Him nor even for a moment forsake His ways. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you will bless this word, Lord, to each of us, and that it might minister to us personally, as well as congregation-wide. So strengthen us, Father, in these things, and cheer our hearts, and keep us reliant and dependent upon you as the new year comes to us and unfolds before us, as we look to you in Jesus' name, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, let's turn back to Psalm 90. This time it's number 176. And we'll sing all six stanzas to that music at the top. Number 176, O God, our help in ages past. Well, let's remain standing, and we'll turn to number 475 for our doxology. And if you have contributed to the offering, supporting the work of Reverend Steve Pullman, amen for that. If not, you know where the bags are stationed in case you have yet to give. So number 475 for our closing doxology. Thank you. Beloved, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.